Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
We are here 24 hours a day with the message of hope, faith and love on 657 AM.
657 AM, Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. I'm Pomuko, my family, and you're tuned to Spectrum, the Friday edition of Spectrum. We look forward to a great day indeed. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And right now, I'm very excited. I get to connect with Lerato Moletsane. She'll be sharing with us her testimony this afternoon, her journey, basically about cancer, losing her leg, and also just encouraging us today and some of the things that she has seen God doing in her own life. And you are really excited to hear her sharing today. Lerato, welcome to Radio Pulpit. Welcome to Spectrum, and how are you today, my dear?
Hi, thank you so much. I'm good, thank you. Yourself?
I'm good. Are you excited to be on air?
I'm very excited. It's a very exciting feeling.
I can imagine, Lerato. We really thank God for you. But Lerato, please tell us a bit about yourself, who you are and where you come from. Just a brief background. Yeah.
Like mentioned, my name is Lerato and my surname is Moletsane. I am 20 years of age. I live in Vanderbijl Park and I am a cancer survivor, bone cancer survivor. I survived cancer at the age of 19 and I am a newly amputee.
Wow, beautiful. So Lerato, take us through your journey with cancer. How did you know that you had cancer and how was the journey like?
So, I was sick for about a year, right after my matric. I matriculated in 2018, right? So, right after my matric, I got extremely sick, but no doctor could actually diagnose me because my symptoms were symptoms that occur in other illnesses as well. So, for an entire year, I went to public hospitals, I went to private doctors, but nobody could actually pinpoint this disease or whatever that was wrong with me back then. This was back in 2018. So I started losing mobility every single day. My mobility became worse. I had problems with my knee. My knee started swelling up. It was extremely painful. But, you know, not knowing what is wrong with your knee was very painful at the time. So then in 2019, in October, I then went to another doctor, you know, at MediClinic, and then I did my x-rays there, and then right after my x-rays came out, this doctor could not tell me what was wrong with me. He knew that I had cancer, but he just couldn't be upfront with it, you know, straightforward with it. So instead, he told me that to go and pack my bags. He's transferring me to Johannesburg Gym. Which is known as Charlotte Matrek at these days. He told me that he was transferring me there because he told me that only that hospital will be able to attend to me immediately. So then I went to the hospital, and I went to the hospital the following day, of which it was a Wednesday. When I got there, the doctors immediately told me right there on the spot that, okay, you have something growing in you, and we're suspecting three different types of cancers. So you can imagine at my age, I just found out that I have cancer. At that time, I'm busy doing nursing. You know, I just finished my matric. I've just started as a first-year student in this university, and now this, you know. So I just took it very lightly, and I started being positive. You know, I just told myself that everything will be fine. God will make a way and things will clear up for me. Little did I know that I was in for a joy ride. I was in for a roller coaster. So things started escalating very slowly, but very deeply at the same time, you know. I then went for the first operation, which was a biopsy. And then right after my biopsy, it was confirmed that I had something called osteosarcoma. Now, I've never heard of this before. I've never seen somebody that has this before. So it was very perplexing for me to find out that I have something called osteosarcoma. I couldn't even pronounce the name at first, you know. They then explained that, no, this thing is very rare in girls. It is mostly found in boys, especially boys that are very tall, you know. But also cancer is hereditary, so you can actually inherit it and stuff. And then I was told that maybe it might be because from my mother's side of the family, there's like a lot of people that had cancer before, but they also survived. And then they also told me that it might be because I used to run back in school. I used to run long meter hurdles and short meter hurdles. Hmm. So it might have been caused by that, you know, it might have been triggered by things like that. And then, yeah, I'm also a very tall lady for my age. So then, after a few months, I started with my chemotherapy session.
Okay.
So when I started my chemotherapy session, I told myself that I'm going to try to have faith throughout my entire sessions.
Amen.
But it was difficult. Hmm. I don't want to lie.
Sure.
And because I am a person of flesh, I ended up losing faith along the way.
Hmm.
I remember that there were days when I used to cry, when I used to ask myself, but God, why me?
Sure.
Hmm. Why are you deciding to punish me out of everybody else? Why did you choose to put out this little lamp and you want to hurt me this much? I mean, I just started following my dream now.
Hmm.
I'm busy with my examinations now, and then you do this to me out of everybody else. I used to cry because I remember one time I was telling my mom that I've been attending church every Sunday. I've been doing things right by the law. I've been trying to not sin a lot. So why would he do something to a person that is committed to him?
Sure.
And then one time I woke up and I said, but if not me, then who? If I'm saying these things should not come to me, then where should they go to? Who can I point out and say, oh no, this person deserves this type of pain that I'm feeling currently?
I hear you.
I had faith again. You know, faith is something that can be restored.
Amen.
You know?
True.
So I started restoring my faith, thinking that, okay, no, it's fine. I'll fight this with God by my side. After my 3 months of cycles, I was in hospital, and they called my mom. They told my mom that we are transferring your daughter to an isolation room because all her blood cells are at a negative number. And they explained to my family that at this stage, if she can get infected by anything, be it something as small as coughing or fever, she might lose her life because she does not have blood cells to help fight anything in her system. I then couldn't talk for a bit because I had sores in my mouth and I couldn't open my mouth or even move.
Yeah.
My mother had to come and wash me in the hospital. My mother had to come wearing gloves, wearing like plastic aprons. This thing was actually before COVID, but she had to dress up as
as if she was coming to see a COVID patient.
Exactly.
Sure.
You know, as if she's coming to see a COVID patient. And it was very scary because in that room, we were like only four people. And we were at the stage where we don't communicate, we don't wake up. I had to sleep with a mask, wake up with a mask, do everything with a mask on because one mistake, it was gone with me. And I remember that there were also nights where I used to think, okay, today is it. No, this is it. And I would ask God, my prayer would always be, God, can you take my life today?
Sure.
End it today because this is too much for a 19-year-old. And they called my family members again. After about 2 days, 3 days, they noticed that nothing has been changing. They sent me to a scan called MRI. This is where they get to scan your entire body to check how far your cancer has spread and things like that. The results came back and the results said, okay, yes, the chemotherapy has been working. It did change my tumor. However, my tumor has started moving in between my blood vessels. So even if they would have to operate me and remove only that tumor part, after 2-3 months, my entire cancer would now spread to the entire body, and this would become a much bigger problem than what they were dealing with at the time.
Sure. Yeah.
So then they explained to my family members, it was on a Thursday, they explained to my family members that, okay, on Monday, we have to amputate her.
Sure.
Remember, I'm in a state of not talking. I can't say yes, I can't say no.
Sure.
I am very low, you know, I'm feeling very down and stuff. So my family members, my mother's sisters and brothers, they managed to explain to me, you know, to make me get the point of losing a leg.
Sure.
So I won't say that I felt something. I just took it very lightly and I'm like, ah, it is what it is. What can I say after all? And the weekend began. Thursday was okay. The Friday, everything was fine until Sunday. It started hitting me when my mom had to leave me in the hospital and my stepfather around 4 o'clock that year. This is getting real.
Sure.
Life is about to change. And I remember how the only thing that mattered to me was, what can I do to just feel some sensations for the last time with my leg? You know, I can't go out to play with the sand because I'm in hospital. I can't go and step on rocks or step on anything that I feel like this is going to be the last time feeling it with this leg because I'm stuck in bed in hospital. I did, they did send like a psychologist, but that did not help, to be honest, because I felt that you cannot help somebody mentally when they haven't started the procedure yet, you understand?
Yeah.
Monday morning arrived and I was the first patient to go to the theater room. My operation was scheduled for 8 o'clock, so at 6 o'clock you have to be ready and done and just waiting for transportation.
Okay.
I cried my lungs out. I remember when those doors opened up, the ICU doors, not ICU, theater doors opened up. I'm like, but God, this is not you. If you are a God, then why are you doing this to me?
Sure.
My prayers were not prayers for help, but my prayers were always prayers for, like, being angry at God, you understand? Being angry at God. And I lost my leg that day.
Sure.
I lost my leg and I thought, okay, maybe God is done with the whole thing of me being sick, I'm done. After a month or 2 months, I had to face mental illnesses, which is depression, which is anxiety.
I can imagine.
And on top of those things, I had to also deal with hearing loss, you know.
Sure.
My ears had permanent side effects. So with chemotherapy is a poison, so you end up having severe side effects.
Sure.
I now couldn't hear properly, and one day I woke up. I was trying to go to the bathroom from my room to the bathroom. On the way there, everything just became black. I could no longer see. My doctors then told me, no, it's also part of the side effects.
Yeah.
So now I ask myself, God, you first you give me cancer, then you take my leg. Now you're giving me hearing problems, and now I can't see. What more is coming? What did I do to deserve this?
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
And all I can say today is that I didn't know that the best, like the best is yet to come.
Amen.
I grew up wanting to become a nurse, and I followed my dream after matric. But God said, "No, this is not what I brought you to this earth for. Your calling is to help people. Your calling is to motivate people.
Sure.
Your calling is to ensure that the next person does not allow life circumstances to pull them down."
Sure. Powerful. Sure.
I
was about to say, actually, as you are talking, I'm reminded of the saying that pain for purpose. Some of the things that we go through, which are painful, we go through them for a reason, and sometimes we don't understand.
Amen.
And here you are today, you're encouraging, you know, us, but yet we've been through so much, and some of us have not even experienced half of the things that you went through.
Amen. That's very true. That is very true. So now I'm also in need of a prosthetic leg, you know. I remember right after losing my leg, I wanted a leg immediately. But now I don't have 65,000 rand.
Sure.
And I wanted it in like yesterday, just so that I can feel normal again. Just so that I can see myself as a normal human being again.
Yeah.
But when God says no, it's not the time. They say that God is never too early. He's never too late. But he's always
on time.
Right on time.
Yeah.
And if you keep on praying for once, you'll never receive them.
Amen.
However, if you keep on praying for necessity, then you will receive them.
Sure.
So I had to go through the process of being at home and not doing anything. And to understand why I went through this. I started visiting a few children that had cancer. I started giving people remedies as to how I won the battle.
Beautiful.
This is what I did. You know, this is what I started doing. I'm like, yeah, now I understand why.
Sure.
I
Wow. Sure.
God wanted to shift my eyes, shift my beliefs to something new. You know?
Amazing.
And right after this year, I started fundraising for my league.
Hmm.
Remember I told you right after? I couldn't even find 100 rand, if that is it, you know. Now that I've started fundraising my league, I've come so far to a point where I'm like, okay, I think I was rushing my process. This is it. This is the time that the Lord has made for me.
Hmm. God is good.
So I started fundraising for a new prosthetic leg. Prosthetic legs are extremely costly, especially because I don't have a knee. A knee is the most important part of the entire leg.
Sure.
So I'm almost done. I mean, my balance is 16,500 rand.
Hmm. That
is good. And my leg is already made.
Hmm.
My leg is already made. I just need to go and collect it with the balance.
Wow. Sure.
And I still believe that there are still angels out there that are willing to help, that are willing to reach out to me.
Hmm.
Because I believe that a child is raised. It takes a village to raise a child.
Amen.
And I believe that that is me.
Sure.
I am that, you know,
that
one person that was brought to earth to help people. But in order for her to help people, she also needs people to boost her.
True. But Lerato, we're running out of time now. Quickly, what message of encouragement can you give to us this afternoon, to our listeners? You know, people who are going through a lot and are very discouraged, especially with COVID-19. A lot of people lost jobs. Mm. Some are sick. Some, you know, because of COVID, they lost jobs because they can't work anymore. And I hear here's a young woman like you on fire for God, you know, encouraging people yet who've been through the most. You remind me of Job, you know, the story of Job in the Bible. He had lost everything. He was sick himself. Mm. But God, you know, he never lost his faith in God. And that's who you are. What message of encouragement can you give to someone listening right now this afternoon who's discouraged? What would you say to encourage them quickly?
My message of encouragement is that there is a rainbow at the end of every storm.
Hmm.
Something beautiful is going to come out of your problems.
Amen.
What you are going through is just a process to shake you, to test your strength in God, to test your faith and belief in God. After what you are going through, you will be rewarded with something very beautiful.
Hmm.
And never lose hope.
Amen.
Never lose response. Keep on appreciating everything, because the Bible says that His grace is sufficient
Amen.
For all of us.
True.
Waking up is a blessing. Waking up is part of grace. It is not because we are smart. And people should learn to appreciate the beautiful things that they have. The little things is what matters the most.
Mm.
Because some of us do not have those little things.
Sure. Wow. Thank you so much, Lerato. It's, you know, your story is beautiful. It's so encouraging. And what are you doing currently? Are you at school? What do you do currently?
I am currently just on a learnership.
Okay.
I'm not in school because my applications got rejected because the schools were full.
Okay. All right.
But in second semester, I am going back to school.
Okay.
I will be doing psychology at UNISA.
Beautiful. Sure. We wish you all the best, Lerato. May God increase for you. And yes, we trust God that, you know, your balance will be paid in full in the name of Jesus. We believe that God
Amen.
Will send the right people from the right places at the right time. And we wish you all the best. And I wish to host you one day in studio. If all goes well, one day you'll be a guest in studio.
and I'll be glad.
Yeah. thank you so much for making time to talk to us, and may God bless you abundantly.
Thank you so much.
You are welcome, my darling family. That was Lerato Moletsane giving us encouragement this afternoon. Can you believe it? A young woman, 20 years old of age, lost her leg due to cancer. But here she is. She says, do not give up. Do not lose hope. God is with you. At 5 o'clock, we have news. Here is Jamie Kimmett with Since I Met You.
If you need prayer, please send your request to prayer@radiopulpit.co.za. Or WhatsApp 067-429-7564. Or go to Radio Pulpit website on www.radiopulpit.co.za. www.radiopulpit.co.za.
Reach your customers in the car, at the office, at home, or wherever they are, night or day. Through advertising with Radio Pulpit, you can reach a large, unique and loyal audience in a most affordable way. With over 500,000 people on our various platforms, from Gauteng to the Cape, you simply cannot go wrong. So advertise today. Contact us on 012-334-1339. Or for advertising packages that we offer, go to www.radiopulpit.co.za. Terms and conditions apply.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.